Hey guys, good to see you again. We are going to start lesson number four today, and it's entitled, Are We Ready for Marriage? We're going to talk about this, take a look at this topic, and dive into this a little bit more. But just to review a little bit, last time in lesson number three, we talked about two becoming one, that process where a man and a woman, when they get married, they take their two lives and they merge them into one. And that's what God described in the book of Genesis whenever he brought Adam and Eve together. That's how God intended for marriage to be, a man and a woman merging their lives into one life. So that requires a lot. So what we want to do today in this lesson is we want to talk about some things that will help us to understand whether or not we're really ready to get married. Marriage is a life-changing decision. You know, it's about two lives becoming one, and this process brings about a lot of change. It also includes personal sacrifice. And we talked a little bit about that last time. The Bible also teaches that this new unity, it involves forming a bond that transcends all other relationships in your life, except your relationship with God Himself. And this transition, it requires work, change, compromise, and above all, it requires patience. In other words, marriage is going to cost us something. The question is, are we ready to commit ourselves to married life and all that comes with it? So, in order to answer that question, we need to count the cost and see if we're truly ready. You know, Jesus spoke about counting the cost before making a life-changing decision in the New Testament with his disciples. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus was talking about what it took to become one of his disciples, and he mentioned this idea of counting the cost. So let's read this in Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." Look at this. "But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin constructing a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. Then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." You see, in this account, Jesus pointed out to the crowd that he was talking to, "In order for you to be one of my followers, it's going to cost you something personally. It would be a change in their life in a way that would be uncompared to anything. They would not be living the same kind of life. Everything would be different. And his admonishment to them before they made that decision was, 'You need to count the cost before you decide.'" The same principle holds true with marriage. Since marriage will cost us something and will change our lives forever, we should take a close look at life, count the cost before deciding whether or not we're ready to get married. So, with that said, today in this lesson, we're going to look at five areas of life where cost and change may be required. As we look at these areas, we must be willing to honestly evaluate whether we are truly ready to pay that price to be married. Marriage requires a level of maturity, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Physical maturity comes with time and growth. Mental, emotional, and spiritual maturity comes through training, which includes instruction and practice or experience. Listen to these verses in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, which is how we become mature, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. The writer of Hebrews says that someone who's mature listens and puts into practice the things they have learned, thus resulting in maturity. As a mature person, they have the skill to recognize and make proper decisions about right and wrong. The same thing holds true in marriage. Sometimes maturity is just a lack of training. Sometimes it's a lack of listening and putting into practice what they've learned. Either way, when we enter into marriage, it's critical that we have the skill to make right decisions so we don't create unnecessary difficulty and fall into one of the devil's traps. Remember, it takes time, so we must be patient with each other as we learn and grow in this relationship. So let's look at these five areas that are very, very important when it comes to change, counting the cost, and being ready for marriage. Number one, these are things we need to be careful about. The first one, wanting to live a single lifestyle while still being married. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, God talks about when Adam and Eve were joined together. And we talked about this last time, so I'm not going to read all the verses here. However, at the very end, he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. When we choose to be married, and marriage is a choice, to choose married life, a person has got to want what married life is. That's why it's so critical to understand what married life involves. If a person likes the single life, they should remain single until they decide they want married life over the single life. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being single. And nobody says we have to get married. But when we do, we've got to want what married life is. For example, when we're single, we make decisions based on one person, ourselves. Once we're married, now we make decisions considering two people, not just ourselves. Hanging out with the boys or the girls is great when we're single, but when we get married, that all takes a back seat to our marriage relationship. And so are we really ready for that right now? You don't have to give it up, but you can't keep doing that and be married. So number one, you got to make sure that you're not still wanting to live a single life because that doesn't fit with being married. Number two, a lack of personal responsibility can be a sign that we're not ready to get married yet. Now, what am I talking about? Can we take care of ourselves? Have we cut the apron string with mom and dad? Genesis 2:24 says a man should leave father and mother and be joined to his wife. This is called leaving and cleaving. We leave our father and mother, and we join and become one with our wife. And by the way, the principle holds true for the wife. She must also be willing to leave father and mother and be joined to her husband. You see, when a man and a woman choose marriage, they're forming their own family unit, and this family unit must take priority over all other relationships, including the family you were born into. That unit now becomes second in priority to your new family. This is the way God designed marriage to work. If we're not ready to cut the apron string from our original family and commit to our spouse and take responsibility for ourselves, the marriage is going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible. If we are still dependent on parents or friends to help us pay our bills, clean our clothes, buy our groceries, or any of the other necessary aspects of life, then maybe we should wait before getting married. The last thing we want is to be married to someone and feel like we are parenting them like a child rather than doing life with a partner. So, first of all, you got to make sure that you're done with the single life. I'm ready to be what married life is. Number two, you got to make sure that you have already taken on personal responsibility for yourself. You're willing to cut the apron string from mom and dad, go out on your own, and make it on your own, taking responsibility for yourself. Then number three, financial instability can also be something that is a telltale sign or a red flag that we're not ready to get married yet. Proverbs 24:27 says this, "Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house." The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and one bit of wisdom given is the admonishment to prepare ourselves financially before establishing our own family unit. Marriage will require financial stability. Bills will need to be paid. Children cost money. Unexpected situations come up medically and otherwise. Proverbs 24 encourages us to plan and make sure our source of income is set. That's the phrase, prepare your fields. And that it is enough to begin a family. And that's the part about doing your planning. Also, managing our finances during marriage is critical. Controlling our finances and not allowing our finances to control us is a big part of a successful marriage. Consider this verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. If we do not manage our money very well now, getting married is not a magic wand that will magically make us good at managing money. It is much better to learn to manage money before we get married. Some good tests would be, if we had to live on our own, would we be able to pay our own bills and have plenty of money left over? Do we have a savings account? Are we planning for emergencies? Do we have a written budget that we live by? That's planning. All of these things are a part of proper money management and behavior. And we'll discuss all of this in more detail when we get to our lesson on finances. Then area number four, sexual issues can also present a red flag when it comes to readiness for marriage. Two of the most common reasons for divorce are money problems and sexual frustration or infidelity. Look at what Hebrews 13:4 says. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Past sexual abuse, sexual promiscuity, broken relationships that were very physical, as well as other unfortunate experiences involving a physical relationship can create problems in a marriage if they're not addressed beforehand. And we'll address this topic in more detail later. However, be aware of the impact and the importance of the physical relationship in marriage. We must be willing to be pure and faithful to our mate if we want to have a successful marriage. For instance, if flirting is something you still like to do, and nothing wrong with that, but you're probably not ready for the commitment of marriage, and you probably need to wait until you're over that. And then finally, number five, spiritual differences can also be a red flag as to your readiness for marriage. Spiritual unity in marriage is critical to a happy marriage. As husband and wife, we cannot be going in opposite directions in our spiritual life. If we are, it's ultimately going to destroy our relationship. Here are two questions that will help determine if you're headed in the right direction spiritually. Question number one, are you a believer and follower of Jesus Christ? Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? It is important that both husband and wife be on the same page when it comes to their relationship with God. They must both want the same thing spiritually and love God supremely. Satan will come after us, and we must learn to stand together against him. Quite often, you may have one person who has been around church and Christianity all their life, while the other is very new to the idea of living for God. One person may have had a bad experience with religion or church, or want nothing to do with God. Different religious beliefs can also cause tension in a marriage. It's critically important that we're both on the same page when it comes to our relationship with God. Have we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? Is he important in our life? How much do we know about the Bible, etc.? All of these things need to be talked about before we make that commitment of marriage. And then a second question to help us with our spiritual readiness, and that's this. Are we connected with a friend group that encourages us to follow Jesus? Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Going to church doesn't make us a Christian any more than going to the hospital makes us a doctor or a nurse. However, the kind of people we build our life around will affect our marriage, our children, and everything about us. What kind of friends we have matters. Look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 1, 10. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Proverbs 11, 9. With their words, the godless destroy their friends. Proverbs 12, 26. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. As we can see, our friends do have a major impact on our lives and ultimately who we become. That's why God said in Hebrews 10, 24, that we should not forget to gather with Christian friends and encourage one another to do the right thing and live for Jesus. So now that we've discussed these five areas of readiness, and they are, reviewing again, wanting to live a single life instead of being married, a lack of personal responsibility, financial instability, sexual issues, and spiritual differences. Now that we've looked at all these, it's time for us to take our relationship and match it up to these five things. Be honest with yourself and with each other. Are you truly ready to make the commitment of marriage based on these five areas? If so, that's great. If not, then be patient. Wait. Give yourselves time to mature and come to the place where you can honestly say, I want what married life is, and I'm ready to make that commitment. So, are you ready for marriage? I hope this will help you as you prepare. Again, if you have questions, if you need to talk about something, just send me an email, bill@billcrockett.com. contact me and I'll be glad to schedule a time to talk to you and help you any way I can. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word, for allowing us to be able to read it and study it and live by its principles. And Lord, help us to do just that. Lord, prepare this couple. Make sure they are ready for marriage before they make that commitment. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you today once again for joining in, and so glad that you did. And I look forward to our next lesson next week. Thanks.